Good afternoon, I'm Khaki Walton. Checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners and the Memphis Pink Palace family of museums. The Broad Avenue Art District is hosting Broad on Ice. It's a first Friday event happening this Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. Businesses all along the street are featuring special things, refreshing options for a hot summer evening. T. Clifton Art is featuring a one-of-a-kind glass sculptures by Brian Russell, and Tom Clifton and Brian Russell join me in the studio this afternoon to talk about his work. Good to have you both here.
Thank you.
Well, Tom, I'm going to start with you because you've been featuring Brian's work for a number of years now. So what captivated you about the pieces he creates?
Well, the thing that captivates me most is most of the glass that we have at the gallery. We've got about 30 different glass artists. The delicacy of glass. And then you look at Brian's pieces and go, whoa, that's not delicate at all. That's some serious glass. And people often, you know, they'll look around and then they'll stop at those pieces and think, I don't understand how this is made.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's not blown, it's not fused, it's not your typical glass that people see in galleries. So we enjoy being able to explain, you know, the process and how it's made, and that, you know, he was an iron worker first, and you know, it's, and people are so fascinated. And so I love the educational aspect of it.
Well, y'all are both going to educate me this afternoon, because, I mean, I was doing the same thing. I was looking at some images of your work, Brian, and I'm like, how did he do this? I don't understand how this happens. You started out, though, in photography and then ended up getting into sculpture, true?
Right. Photography was my first art form, and then when I went to Rhodes College and Lawrence Anthony had the sculpture class there, and I wanted to weld and kind of slipped into metalwork and some wood carving, and, you know, the photography became an adjunct to making three-dimensional things.
So you were making large-scale things, you were making furniture and different things like that, and actually that was a lucrative business for you.
Furniture was my first love, and I liked the practical aspect. I'm a very practical artist. I tell people now I'm a frustrated engineer because I didn't get the math gene from my father, who was a math professor, and so I had to make things that work, and I enjoy putting together materials in unique ways.
You've even done, what, fireplace grates and things like that?
I have done so many different things, from giant gates in downtown San Francisco, columns in a house in Los Angeles, fireplace, lighting, and the glass actually started with wanting to make a lampshade. and I fell in love with the color and the translucency, because the metalwork at that time, this was back in the early 90s, and I was when I was on Broad Avenue, the metalwork was dark, solid, colorless, or, you know, monochromatic. I'm not much of a painter, and I did some painting on the metal, but I wasn't happy with it, and started playing with fused glass. No books, no teachers, and it was not satisfactory.
Yeah.
So I left that alone for a few years, and then started up again, and I went to New Zealand. My wife's sister was living in New Zealand, and I had read about this company that makes this special casting glass, and I was able to visit the factory in Auckland.
Oh my gosh!
And it was basically some glass blowers who had developed this line of blowing glass and casting glass. Visited with an artist there who showed me her method of casting, and I came back and said, "Well, that looks easy," which was probably a very silly thing to think, and developed then a technique based around my technology and not anybody else's technology, which is why my cast glass is very different from anybody else's cast glass.
Wow. There's a term, and I'm probably going to mispronounce it, so you can correct me. But I was reading about pot de verre.
Well, pot de verre is not what I do. It means paste of glass.
Right.
And that's a method of putting in finely powdered glass and kind of sticking it into a mold with glue and then fusing it in place.
Huh.
What I do is, if you want to use the French term, cire perdu, lost wax. And it's a very ancient technique that they've used to cast metals, bronze. Uh-huh. You make the wax object, put a mold around it, you're going to lose that mold, melt the wax out,
uh-huh.
and that leaves the void inside of the mold, and then I pour molten glass into that mold. Where my technique varies from every other cast glass artist is I actually pour the glass out of crucibles. Most glass artists will put the raw glass into the mold and then bring it up to a temperature of about 1600, and the glass melts in the mold.
Right.
I pour my glass, and I'm able to pour different colors, and it's not exactly painting, but there's a lot of serendipity that happens with the mixture of the colors of glass as they enter the mold. And cascade around, and I've learned quite a bit of, you know, which colors go together, and what can happen. So there's a little bit of control, but there's also a lot of chaos happening, a good chaos. So I like, you know, there's just contrast that happens between the materials, the metalwork and the glasswork.
This is just fascinating to me. And some of your work is abstract. A few pieces are figurative that I was looking at. But the thing that got me most is like the piece I'm looking at right now, Ichabana 19. There's such fluidity to your work.
Right. Well, the metal work has that direct fluid nature. It's almost like gesture drawing to me at this point. I've gotten very facile with the material. And so it's a very direct process. And then the glass, because I'm working in wax,
mm-hmm.
which is a very soft, easily manipulated material.
Right.
So the glass work is so indirect, as opposed to glass blowing, which is a direct process.
Uh-huh.
So there are many, many steps in the casting process. And so the wax gives you that opportunity to be fluid and gestural. And then you go into the really technical part, and there are all these points that it can fail, and it's in the kiln after you pour it for a week, and you get it out, and you have to get the plaster off very carefully so you don't break the glass, and then you have to finish the glass. So it's like this, it's just this painstaking process, and you know, making it all work together is the real engineering challenge of how do you, you know, fit the glass and the metal together and make it stand up. And, you know, so, and then the bigger pieces for outdoors is an even bigger challenge. That's what I enjoy is practical side.
Well, I guess when you're talking about large scale pieces, it's probably good that you left your studio on Broad and moved out to the country so you'd have tons of room to make these things.
Right. I have a bridge crane and 20-foot ceilings and a big forklift, and I've built some big things are in the past for me now. They're too much. Life is too short to build those anymore. But I've built some, you know, 18-foot tall. They're at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. It was just
a
phenomenal piece, but it just nearly killed me.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm concentrating on smaller pieces that are faster to make. And, I enjoy making pieces that don't take 3 or 4 or 5 months to make.
I don't think I'd have the patience for that.
Yeah, the word faster is relative.
Yeah, very, very much so, yes.
I love this piece. It's Small Craft Warning. And before I even saw the title, I was like, oh, look, it's a ship on the ocean.
Right.
And it is. I mean, at first you think it's abstract, but then when you look closer, you can absolutely see that. And again, you know, there's the fluidity in the movement of the piece. You can practically see it moving.
Well, Go ahead.
Well, and that piece is at the gallery right now, and every so often someone will look at it, and it almost looks delicate, like it's going to, that ship is going to tip right out of the waves.
Yes.
Because they are three separate pieces, the iron waves, the waves, or the water, and then the boat are three separate pieces.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, when I show people, lift the boat up out of the waves and put it back, and the fact that they fit so beautifully together, is in itself such an accomplishment. And I think because you're working with wax first, you're able to kind of fit all those pieces together. So, again, it becomes an educational tool.
Yeah. Don't you love it that your work is sparking conversation with Tom and his and the folks who come into his gallery?
Well, that's one of the really gratifying things about making pieces and having been doing this so long. I mean, this is my 35th year in business.
Oh, gosh.
I opened my studio in 1984, the year after I graduated. And so I've been just full-time making things. And, you know, you come across pieces, like I'm working for some clients right now who had one of my fire screens that they bought like 28 years ago.
Wow.
And now they're building a new house and have commissioned me to build this wonderful wall sculpture for them.
Oh.
And so it's just great that, you know, to revisit that. I hadn't seen that piece in a year. I'm like, that's not bad, you know. For that. And then to have the public pieces, you know, the pieces I have at Le Bonheur and, you know, around town, that everyone gets to enjoy, Church Health Center, and those kinds of pieces are wonderful. Church pieces, St. George's, the stuff at Tresvant Manor, in the chapel there, where, you know, you're actually having a real impact on people's mental state.
Yes.
That when they get to interact with the work and enjoy the beauty of the work. So that's sort of beyond my getting, you know, the luxury of spending all day making art. You know, the fact that I have an effect is and make people happy.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
That is a very good thing. I just think over your entire career, I mean, you're constantly seeking out new information, new ways of doing things. I mean, it's just you've just kept at it, looking for new techniques and things your whole career, and that's got to feel so good. You were constantly trying to do things differently.
Well, and that's the experimentation. I mean, my wife's a scientist. My dad was a mathematician, as I said. You know, I kind of grew up with that whole idea of experimentation and research, and that I enjoy the expression that I get to create, but also it's the challenge of making stuff work. And it's a blend. Just like the materials, you know, there's a lot going on in the work, and it's been very, very satisfying.
So when something, you know, sometimes maybe you're not sure how something's going to turn out, and then when it works, you're like, oh yes.
Well, and the colors.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most seductive part of the glass. When I first started working with the glass, it was just it was sexy. It was like, you thought everything I make is fantastic because the color in the glass is just so incredible, and the interaction with the light. So you kind of had to be careful of, okay, let's not get carried away by the color and make sure that what we're actually making is meaningful. And you know, when you finishing the glass, you have it in your hands and you're sanding on, wet sanding it with diamond sandpaper, and you're studying it, then the color just, I mean, it draws you in, the swirls. And I've recently started photographing the glass. I've kind of gone back to my photography roots.
Oh, wow.
Of making some art photos of the glass details, these very small areas that have just intense swirls and bubbles, and you start looking at them on a macro level, and they're like little space landscapes, and they're amazing. So there's a lot of scale on the work of how close you want to look at it.
Yeah. Well, these pieces are incredible. Brian Russell is the featured artist at T. Clifton Art on Broad, and you can see his work every day.
Yes.
And especially on First Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. And you won't be there, but you'll be there to explain
of course.
His work to people. Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to.
I may be there on that Friday.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Yay. It's Broad on Ice, the First Friday event. Broad Avenue does First Friday each and every month. And so for July, they're trying to cool you down with some refreshing options for a hot summer evening. And glass is the way that you're doing this.
That's right. Sparkle of glass.
You can find out more about Brian's work. Go to his website, brianrussellsculpture.com. You can also visit tcliftonart.com. And for information about events on Broad Avenue, visit broadavarts.com. And you can also call T. Clifton Art at 323-2787. I'm so glad that we met today. I've just really had fun looking at your work and talking to you about it. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you, Khaki. It's wonderful to meet you.
Brian Russell and T. Clifton, Tom Clifton, my guest this afternoon.